You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you. On your phone, on your computer, wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter, even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Okay, we're going to move on to, now we've gotten the controversial things out of the way, we'll now move on to the easy stuff, the confirmation of the University of West Florida president, Manny Diaz.
On January 8th, as Chair Levine said just a few moments ago, the UWF Board of Trustees selected Manny Diaz Jr. to serve as president-elect. This came at the conclusion of a thorough search process following Board of Governors Regulation 1.002.
You know, we went through this process. Search committee had a number of candidates that we reviewed. I'm saying this because I was on the search committee. This was the last search committee I'll serve on.
That's Alan Levine. He is the chair of the Board of Governors in the confirmation, the item in the Board of Governors meeting yesterday to confirm Manny Diaz as the president of UWF, seventh president, which of course they did, but more on the results in just a second. The voice you heard in the middle, the female voice, is Rebecca Matthews. She is the chair of the Board of Trustees, one of the, you know, Team DeSantis installees who has been doing basically whatever DeSantis wants, or at least so it seems, in conjunction with a couple of other people like Zach Smith on the Board of Trustees at UWF, part of the ouster of Martha Saunders, as well as many other controversies, and now the installation of Manny Diaz to be the president. And let me say what I think a lot of people have said in this. I want to be clear. I don't have any objection to Manny Diaz. I hope and think that he will likely be a very good president. The process by which we got here was absolutely outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. And the process, of course, therefore taints everything else, unfortunately. So this got really, really interesting in a way that I don't know anybody else has noticed yet. And so I'm going to share it with you, and I want you to pay attention. You know, Doug Broxson got in there, and he was, of course, on the Board of Governors, former senator, and he was talking about how his brother helped found UWF back in the day. Now he's voting on it, and, you know, he's talking about the difficulty of changing leaders and, you know, praising Manny Diaz, and all of that is good. Alan Levine, who was on the the selection committee, he explained the issue of how they pulled down to just one candidate instead of three, like the BOG regulations are supposed to say and do say.
Process was such that, you know, we had a lot of applicants. We went through a lot of process to narrow down the applicants for those that we felt were qualified and not qualified. And then we selected those that we wanted to interview. Went through an interview process, and it became apparent to me during the process, and this has been outlined in a letter from the council to Brian Lamb, who was at the time chair of the BOG, that there was it seemed infeasible to present more than two candidates by virtue of the fact that there was just a huge qualification chasm between the number one candidate, Manny, and the other candidates. And so that's why one candidate was presented. That candidate was approved by Governor Lamb as chair. As you know, he has the right to veto or approve. Well, he approved it based on the circumstances, and it went to the Board of Trustees.
Well, you know, look, we're really sure that this candidate is going to win the election, so I don't even know why we need to have an election. I mean, let's not even bother letting other candidates run. You know, let's cut from 80 to 1, and let's just make the end of it. I mean, this is such a crazy argument. If the other candidates are terrible, well, then they'll show as terrible. And you can do three, and then it'll be obvious, and then you can vote for the one, and then you won't have these concerns. You won't have this objection. Infeasible has to do with, you know, practicalities or something else. Not that you don't like any of the other candidates. So, no, this is a terrible argument. And this is at the crux of this. This is the center of the objection, is that the way we got here was terrible. Really, really terrible. And to her credit, Kimberly Dunn, who is the FAU Faculty Senate President and is on the Board of Governors, raised the right question.
President Diaz, I watched your interview, and I want to thank you for your exemplary service to the system and to UWF. In the interview, I was very impressed by your vision, your commitment, and your leadership. And I believe that you have served and will continue to serve UWF well.
Very good. Yes, appropriate. But then she turns her attention to Rebecca Matthews, the chair of Board of Trustees, who is there presenting the nomination for Manny Diaz. And she says,
Chair Matthews, my questions are really for you so that I can better understand your perspective on things. One could argue that selecting a university president is one of the most important, if not the most important duty of a board of trustees. And I'm really interested in your perspective. And from that, I have just two questions. First, as board chair, how did you satisfy yourself that the exceptional circumstances for submitting less than three candidates required by BOG Regulation 1.002 was met? And then my second question, during your deliberations at the BOT meeting, concerns about the process were raised. Can you help me understand your decision to move forward with the vote without additional discussion of those concerns?
Perfect question. Explain to me how you believe the BOG regulations were appropriately followed in making the exception to only have one finalist. And in the meeting when objections were raised to this process, why did you ignore them? Those are completely fair questions for her. Now, I don't want anybody to accuse me of mischaracterizing Rebecca Matthews' answer, so I'm going to play her entire answer here, and I'm going to want you to pay attention, because this is absolutely flabbergasting. In just a second, PJ's got traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good. Gulf Beach Highway not showing any delays. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
All right, the first part of her answer, Rebecca Matthews, there's no content here. There's not much to pay attention to, but she's basically saying, look, the firm that we hired to have us help us with this process, they kept me apprised. I wasn't on the selection committee and just sort of yada yada. Okay, but here's what she said to start.
Appreciate that question, or the two questions. First, I was not on the committee, just to lay that out here for everybody to clarify things, but I did have access to Funken Associates, our search firm, to receive frequent updates to the level that I needed in terms of the candidates that had applied, the larger pool that came in, and then where it was narrowed down to the five candidates. So I was being briefed along the way to where I could feel comfortable with the process. And Funk Associates is a 40 some odd year track record of doing these types of searches. So felt very comfortable with the gentleman and his team member that we worked with the most from those efforts.
Okay, none of that's an answer, but I wanted you to hear it, okay? And then this is the part where you got to pay attention. Okay, and by the way, the feed was kind of in and out yesterday for some reason with some of the candidates and some of the speakers and others. It's not your radio, it was the original recording. Okay. This is the one you got to pay attention to. Listen carefully, especially to the end of this comment.
Then you fast forward to the board meeting. I didn't have any concerns because clearly I was fine with what we were bringing forward that day to present to the board, and gave the entire board a similar packet to what you all received in terms of the background of President-elect Diaz and the process that had unfolded with the community forums that we held in December, moving forward to that ultimate meeting in January. And none of those folks brought any questions to the table that day. So. That's where we landed and brought him forward to the BOG. I hope that answers your question.
I didn't have a problem with it. I like Manny Diaz. We had community meetings, and then we had the public meeting where we voted on him as the final person to take the nomination. And what was it exactly that she said about the meeting in January at the Board of Trustees? Listen carefully.
Meeting in January, and none of those folks brought any questions to the table that day. So
the what they didn't. I happen to have a memory, happen to watch these meetings. I happen to know for a fact that Heather Riddell, who is the Senate faculty president at UWF, specifically went out of her way at length to explain why she objected to this exact process.
I'm going to read a statement that I've prepared. Faculty have expressed concerns to me about the process in detail in the past several weeks. As part of the committee, I have some as well. This statement really focuses more on the process, not the candidate, as we've all been able to witness the interview this morning. The hiring of the president should be public and transparent as a public institution. We are accountable to taxpayers and our community.
Okay, that was the preface.
BogReg 1.002 says that we must bring free applicants unless there is an infeasible situation with exceptional circumstances. There doesn't appear to be one. As a faculty representative, without additional candidates, there is an inability to compare and determine if the solo candidate is indeed the best fit for the university. Without a written explanation detailing the infeasible exceptional circumstances, stakeholders are left without a clear understanding of the decision.
And then she goes on to say that there's no problem particularly with Manny Diaz. It's just the process.
I'm not voting against interim President Diaz and the work he's done. I'm going to be voting against the process that led us here. We look forward to building a positive working relationship with the next president. And if it is indeed interim President Diaz, I believe we have built good rapport and we will continue to work towards UWF's success. Thank you.
So in this meeting in January, when they selected him, Heather Riddell specifically objected to the process and then voted no.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Any nay?
Nay.
And then Chair Matthews specifically ignored her and didn't say anything else and didn't do any response, just pretended like it was all fine, and then goes in front of the Board of Governors and again says...
That ultimate meeting in January... And none of those folks brought any questions to the table that day. So
that's a lie. I mean, I'm always cautious about saying somebody lied because maybe they don't remember. Maybe they get their facts wrong. You know, lied is deliberate knowledge of what you're saying is false. Do you believe she didn't remember that Heather Riddell objected? And that several other people that had talked about this throughout the time it was going on objected. She went to the Board of Governors and lied to them and told them that one of the reasons this process is okay is that so many people didn't bother objecting to it. You know, as Levine said, the chair of the Board of Governors at the time didn't object, and he could have. He didn't veto it. And Rebecca Matthews is telling the Board of Governors, who you can't expect that they've watched all these meetings or listened to my show, she's testifying to them. Now, she's not sworn, so it's not perjury, but she's telling them, hey, there's no worries here. All of our board of trustees are on board with this. Nobody disagrees. Nobody even objected to the process when, as a matter of fact, Heather Riddell specifically objected to the process. And then Kimberly, I don't know how else to read this, but this is a lie to the Board of Governors. So what should be done? You know, should she resign being the chair of the board? Should she be removed from the board for lying to the Board of Governors? I mean, I don't know what the right corrective action is. And I don't think it matters because Manny Diaz is going to be a great president, or at least I hope he will. And certainly there were plenty of votes to confirm him. In fact, she didn't have to lie. She could have said, you know what? Our Senate faculty president mentioned concerns about the process. We listened to those concerns. She was the only one who really raised them at that meeting. And we, the rest of us, decided that it was unacceptable and we'd made the exception. She could have said that. That would have been honest. But she didn't. So, I mean, honestly, I feel like the Board of Governors was misled by the chairman of our Board of Trustees, and I don't know what the remedy is exactly, but this is bad. Kimberly Dunn, who is, again, the representative of the Senate faculty for the state when she's sitting on the Board of Governors yesterday.
Thank you for your response. Chair Levine, I just want to express that my faculty colleagues and I are increasingly concerned about presidential searches within our system that result in only one finalist, especially when that finalist is an internal candidate, and the impact of this decision on future searches and attracting the best possible talent. And so my vote today will reflect my concerns about this decision on future searches and not about President Diaz's qualifications. I do believe that he has served and will continue to serve well. And I look forward to seeing what he does at UWF.
Yeah, and I think the same thing. but how we got here is ugly. And the last ugliest part of it was the, at the very least, misleading, highly misleading, or actually the lie that Rebecca Matthews told the Board of Governors.
I'm going to call for a motion for the confirmation of Manny Diaz as the president of the University of West Florida. Doug Broxson, would you like to make the motion? Governor Broxson moves.
Second.
Got a second from Governor Edge. Any comments? If not, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, no?
No.
That's Kimberly Dunn.
Congratulations.
And by the way, you don't know whether the vote might have been different if other members of the BOG had heard that, you know, there was objections from the faculty senate representative on the Board of Trustees. Maybe the vote would have been the same. But that's the point. It's possible that several of them would have said, oh, hey, whoa. You know, other people thought this process was no good. Now, in the end, Manny got approved, and I'm actually fine with that as a practical matter.
It is an incredible honor to be able to serve as the seventh president of the University of West Florida.
And he gave, you know, he said the right things and good things.
I believe that every decision that we make, just as I did as I served on this Board of Governors, has to start with students first. That is the business we are in. Those are the people that we serve. And if you start with that as your compass, as your North Star, the decisions become much easier as you go through them. And we will continue to make our decisions based on what's best for students. All of that will play out in a better economy, better citizens, and a better state.
And he, of course, excited about the future. And
thank you very much, again, for the support, for the confidence, and go Argos.
Oh, it's interesting. People are texting me and saying, well, technically, there was no question. It was a statement. Well, it depends on what your definition of is. That's why I say, you know, misleading versus lie. You be the judge. And if you were on the Board of Governors, would you feel misled by this? I know I would. 437-1620. Some people are saying she needs to be fired. Some people are saying the loophole is justified. Oh, man. I mean, you're working hard. That's fine, though. That's why we take differences of opinion. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
9 miles accident-free. Highway 90 is clear from Milton to Pace. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Discouraged? Defeated? Disappointed? You're listening to Strength for Life.
Hey, this is Pastor James Johnson with Strength for Life. I want you to know that there are resources available on our website that are specifically designed to strengthen you in your walk with God. Maybe you're feeling weak in your prayer life because of unanswered prayer. I wrote a little booklet entitled When God Says No, which will strengthen you in how to deal with those times in your life when it seems that God is silent. Maybe you're struggling because someone you love is away from the Lord. They're wayward and your heart is broken. On our website, you'll find a booklet entitled Ministry to the Wayward, and it will strengthen you in knowing exactly how to help that person who is in a prodigal situation. You can find these strengthening resources and much more at our website, which is www.strengthforlife.church. Check it out today.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You're not looking for an argument.
You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Are you silver? Away!
I got some bad advice. I never thought I could handle a girl with guns. And let me tell you, you can bet that I'm not the only one. I don't know.
We all need just a little bit more Tommy Shaw in our lives. 728 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. If you need work done on the plumbing, heating, air conditioning, or electrical systems in your house, or a generator, or Just have a, you know, something you want, maybe an upgrade, and you're not sure what that's going to involve, call Peden. They'll take care of you. They've been doing all these things. In 1969, Robert Peden started the company in Panama City, pretty quickly expanded from heating and air conditioning to doing the plumbing, the electrical, and also geographically east of Tallahassee across the time zone. And, of course, west of Pensacola, they've been here for a long time in Ellison Field. And then the last couple of years, they've been moving west across the state boundary over into Baldwin County and into Mobile. And the point is, good products, good installation, 100% satisfaction guarantee, stand by the work, and they are the go-to place all along the Gulf Coast for any of these needs. And right now, Peden's got a special. They want you to beat the annual regulatory price bumps as, you know, new regulations go into effect and the big machine, you know, the big equipment prices change and go up. Beat that with a Peden's New Year Old Stock Sale. Take up to $1,500 off remaining 2025 air conditioning systems before they're gone. Call or book online at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N. 729 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I just tell you, when I was listening to this meeting yesterday, I was livid. I just couldn't believe, and I just, it's so unnecessary to mislead the Board of Governors, or lie, depending on how you prefer to style it, by Rebecca Matthews. She could have just told the truth. Yeah, you know, we had some people raise objections about that. Here's the answer. Well, of course, when you don't have really good answers, then you're inclined to more mislead people. And I'm curious to know what the Board of Governors might think if they didn't know this and they might hear, you know, some of this information. Should she be removed? Should she resign as the chair? I don't know. That's a question for people to decide. David Wayne's in the newsroom with a quick headline or two for us. David?
Well, it looks like Kevin Warsh has been picked by President Trump to be the new chair of the Federal Reserve. The president made that announcement on Truth Social, and the president says Warsh would go down as one of the great Fed chairmen.
Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. I'd like to hear an apology at least.
I'm CJ Papa. President Trump chooses a new leader for the central bank.
He posted this on Truth Social. I'm pleased to announce I've nominated Kevin Warsh to be chairman of the Board of Governors for the Federal Reserve System. He then also says, I've known Kevin for a long period of time and have no doubt he will go down as one of the great Fed chairmen, maybe the best. On top of everything else, he is central casting and he will never let you down.
Fox's Alexandra Hoff at the White House. Jerome Powell's term as Fed chair ends May 15th. Democrats, Republicans, at odds in the Senate over money for ICE and the latest spending plan. South Dakota Republican Senator Mike Rounds earlier on Fox.
Well, we're going to have a shutdown. I think that's pretty clear. And the reason is just the logistics of working our way to get the House back in time.
And partial government shutdown will begin at midnight. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3, 38 degrees right now. We've got clear skies, some sunshine this morning. We'll get to our full forecast here in just a few minutes with meteorologist Brooke Richardson. Looks like there may be a cold weekend in store for us, so we'll find out more about that. Well, the owner of Gulf Coast Gun and Outdoors in Milton received a trial delay as he's planning to file for bankruptcy. Chris Smith, he also faces a libel and slander lawsuit from former Santa Rosa Commissioner Sam Parker over a sales promotion he ran. The trial was scheduled for February 2nd. Smith's attorney said the bankruptcy filing automatically halts further proceedings. Pensacola police are looking for a woman who disappeared last week, 37-year-old Robin Whitmire. She was last seen January 23rd near Cypress and L Streets. She's 5'2", weighs about 98 pounds. We'll have a photo posted on the News Radio website. Photos are also posted online on social media, the Pensacola police social media. If you have any information, contact PPD. A 60-year-old man facing animal cruelty charges for abandoning two dogs in Escambia County. The sheriff's office says that Brian Mott was arrested Thursday after a deputy spotted his truck with two dogs. Then he saw the same truck without the dogs. A witness reported seeing the red Chevy Silverado dumping those dogs on Beck's Lake Road. Mott then reportedly gave deputies conflicting explanations. Well, Chimes Way Park in Brent has reportedly become a bit of a homeless encampment in recent years, prompting action now from the county. The park is reportedly littered with alcohol bottles, cigarettes, and human waste. Some people were even living under the skate ramps. Neighbors say they really just didn't feel safe taking their kids there anymore. The Escambia County crews arrived at the scene yesterday to start cleaning the park up. Nearby resident Riley says she's happy to see that response.
I'm glad to see initiative taken. My husband now, excuse me, and his brothers have grown up here, and it's just, we hated to see it get spray painted and, I mean, just all over the place. But we're so thankful someone's trying to take initiative.
And that cleanup is expected to be done by later today, and no homeless individuals have been forcibly removed from the park. Pensacola's International Airport is hosting what they're calling a Wings for All event next month to help kids with autism and other disabilities become more comfortable with air travel. The mock flight experience includes ticketing, security screening through the TSA, and boarding, and even time on an aircraft, but no actual flight. The program is a partnership between Delta Airlines and the ARC Gateway. Airport Director Matt Coughlin says it replaces fear of the unknown with confidence and with excitement. And a man already accused of a campus rape is now facing even more trouble after an incident caught on camera in Miami at the police station. Stephen Rivers was charged with a sexual assault of a Florida Memorial University student, but as he was being walked out of a police station, prosecutors say Rivers grabbed the lead detective from behind. Surveillance video captured
it. He was trying to grab the female officer's
buttocks.
And then another officer stopped him, and he told that other officer, good catch, but I don't give an F.
And as a result, prosecutors added another charge of battery on a law enforcement officer to his existing case. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Good morning, PJ.
Good morning. Traffic's brought to you by BathFitter.com, the leader in bathroom innovation. With the BathFitter PermaFit solution, your new tub or shower is built to fit perfectly and guaranteed for life. Visit BathFitter.com. I-10 and 110 continue to look good. If you are on US 98 east and westbound through Navarre, that is flowing smooth. No delays at the front gate of NAS Pensacola. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at partly cloudy skies today with temperatures near 57 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures starting to drop near 24 degrees. As you head into Saturday, very cold weather with temperatures topping out in the 30s. Windy weather making it feel much colder. Saturday night, temperatures dropping into the low 20s. Going into Sunday, sunny skies, high near 41. And Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 28. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 38 degrees right now with partly cloudy skies. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. At Tesla's factory in Fremont, California, the automaker plans to make robots instead of its older cars as it gears up to spend $20 billion this year to fund what it views as a business transformation. Tesla's annual revenue declined for the first time on record last year as auto sales dropped 10%. OpenAI has announced it will retire several models of its ChatGPT chatbot next month. ChatGPT 4.0 is one of the models that will be removed from the chatbot. OpenAI said just 0.1% of users are using ChatGPT 4.0 every single day. China recently reached a record $1.1 trillion trade surplus despite President Trump's tariffs. Trade data shows that the relocation of manufacturing to lower tariffs Asian countries in recent years, coupled with forced labor, have enabled China to thrive amid a trade war that began in 2018. Futures are slightly lower. Thursday, the Dow Industrials gained 55, the NASDAQ down 172. That's your money now.
Welcome back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or bird seed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19. But if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Do you have questions regarding your plants and landscaping? If so, the Garden Line is for you. I am Mike Wiggins, and every Tuesday morning at 9, we are here for you on News Radio 92.3 to answer your questions. Seasonal changes call for different activities in your lawn and garden, so tune in and text or call with your questions on the Garden Line on Tuesdays at 9 and an encore each Saturday at the same time.
The Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Tuesdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
You know what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it, one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative,
informative,
local,
local,
dependable.
Dependable.
Now, I did explain to PJ that by old school rap, he means things from the aughts. So not LL Cool J. But Alex Andrade, who does like what he calls old school rap, what I would call modern rap. But whatever, that's fine. No big deal. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Our state representative for District 2 in his final term.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. How's it going?
Very, very good. All right, so things that have been going on in the House this week. You guys are, you know, home today. You're not meeting. At least the House is not meeting. I don't think either the Senate or the House meeting, but you correct me if I'm wrong. You have two bills that you've been working on this week. One is the ethics bill. What is that one about?
It's partially in response to what we uncovered related to, you know, James Uthmeyer's theft of $10 million from our Medicaid program. It spells out that, like, hey, if you're negotiating on behalf of the state some type of a settlement, a legal settlement, one, you got to tell the legislature that you did it and share the terms with us of the settlement. And two, you can't steer any portion of money offered to the state to a third party. I think it's common sense. I wouldn't say it would necessarily have stopped what happened, right? Because we already have fraud statutes on the book, and James had no problem, you know, committing fraud in my, you know, estimation, but at least it would spell out for someone potentially on the state side who had to participate in it. They can point to that now and say, hey, listen, like, this really is wrong. You know, so maybe it would help someone have some type of a conscience in that kind of circumstance in the future. And then the other one is
can we pause there for just a second? Because I know I talked about it a little bit, but I don't want to let it go completely unnoticed that somebody in the governor's office has kind of adapted to the press on this whole issue, which we're still waiting for any charges to come out of the grand jury, right? That's still an open question on the Medicare.
Grand jury will come out when it comes out.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the new health care, what is it? The budget? You tell me. I forget the details here, but specifically omits the references to Hope Florida Foundation, that they're not a part of the language. Whether that changes the actual practice or not is unclear, but am I right that that's kind of been sanitized a little bit this year?
Yeah, they've gone through and they've scrubbed everything related to Hope Florida in their contracts with our Medicaid companies. And now the First Lady's new initiative is testing food and telling people if it's toxic. So she has a new initiative, and Hope Florida's kind of taken a back seat.
I just wanted to make sure we got that out, because, you know, again, I think all of this is kind of relevant, that despite saying there's nothing to see here, there's been an awful lot of smoke, and you would say there's actually been fire. I would say there's actually been fire. We'll wait to see whether the grand jury thinks there's actually been fire. But when you change all the contracts to avoid those references, it's sort of an admission that maybe there was something not right about it. The other thing you were saying, the kind of a very interesting bill for anybody who's a boater or owns a waterfront property because of the derelict vessel problem. You've been working on that, right?
Yeah, one of the biggest issues that people have with removing or regulating derelict vessels is the amount of time it takes to actually, you know, paper a file before FWC, you know, Florida's Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, can come out and remove a derelict vessel. So the idea is simply, if a local government wants to, they can pass an ordinance, and their code enforcement officers can go out and do all the non-criminal paperwork process of, like, citations and documenting how many citations, you know, how long this person's been in a certain spot, this vessel's been in a certain spot, so that all they need FWC to do is help with the removal of the vessel at the very end. So it'll hopefully, in theory, speed up the paperwork process so these derelict vessels, folks can do something about them in a much faster process. And it was actually an idea that was born out of Escambia County. So yeah. I was happy to pass that bill.
It's amazing. It's amazing how long that process takes. I mean, it's ridiculous how long boats sit there unattended, being a nuisance, possibly sinking, becoming a hazard. I mean, all of it, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, due process is messy. People, like, the frustration, like, with the grand jury is the same thing. I'm just like, yeah, due process, you know, is inconvenient.
You know? No, that's true. That's a fair reminder. I appreciate the lawyer's perspective on that, yeah.
And then due process is inconvenient, but you don't want to, you know, necessarily take someone's rights away. I think it was Thomas Jefferson or Ben Franklin said, like, better than, like, you know, one guilty man go free, better than ten guilty men go free than one innocent man rot in jail or something like that. I mean, that's right. The concept, right? It's no, you don't want to go too fast and take an innocent person's rights away.
Right. Which is, I think we're sort of having this conversation around things like the Flock license plate readers and red light cameras and speed zone cameras and the camera society. And, you know, even though police are able to be out and observing anything, that's very different on scale than having cameras everywhere, which would seem like at least a discouragement to use your civil liberties. And, you know, there's all kinds of things you can do to more effectively thwart crime. I mean, you can just get rid of the need to have a warrant. You know, it's that stupid due process and, you know, that gets in the way all the time, right?
Yeah. And so like with a vessel, obviously it's not always easy. No one's parked there, just staring at a boat all day.
Right.
This will help fast track it though, and, maintain that protection on due process. So I think it's a good idea.
Excellent. We have a couple other questions for you. We're talking to Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. Alex, hang on for just a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash, US 90 at Craig Street in Milton. No roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Oh, I do have a quick note here. I don't think that we've been reporting this yet, but apparently Don Lemon was arrested, taken into custody last night. This has to do with, I guess, his participation in the church service protest invasion in Minnesota earlier this month. Federal agents last night, according to CNN, so you would think they would know, Los Angeles, where he was covering the Grammy Awards. So, you know, we'll see how this all plays out, but a very interesting piece of news, let's put it that way. Back to Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. The big question everybody has about this session primarily is about property taxes. As I understand it, there are three proposals that have advanced in the House out of the several that have been proposed, but we still don't have anything from the Senate or from the governor about what they intend to do, right?
Yeah, it's wild that the governor's making such a big deal out of this, but refuses to propose a plan. And I think the governor can't propose a plan because he'd have to admit that he doesn't have a plan to offset the, you know, over $10 billion in school property taxes that are collected by these ad valorem taxes. He never contemplated how we'd backfill our school districts. And I think that's a big reason why he's never released his own actual proposal of ballot language to go on the ballot. It's just like one illustration of the fact that I think that this was all smoke and mirrors from the governor from the beginning, making a lot of promises he could not keep and hadn't thought out. And it's somewhat frustrating as a legislator. I mean, we're going to put something on the ballot. I'm very confident we will. I don't see it passing just because DeSantis hasn't put out a plan of his own yet, so he can whine and complain that something's wrong with whatever we put on the ballot, and you're not going to get 60% of the vote when you got the governor whining about it, and a lot of people saying, wait, has this been properly thought out? And I can't say in good conscience right now that it has been properly thought out. The only people thinking about it are the members of the Florida House who are weighing actual language and bills.
In the conversations around this, what's been so stunning to me is the bills differ. You know, some of the bills will only exempt the non-school board slice of the ad valorem tax. Other ones seem to target the whole thing, whether we phase it out over 10 years or phase it out immediately or, you know, allow a slower creep on the assessed value, 3% over 3 years instead of each year or 10% depending on the, for the non-homesteaded property, all of these things. The one thing that's been stunning to me is that none of these proposals carry with them, as you say, the natural companion of, and how will we replace that revenue? Now, I know that, you know, we've got the, you know, the CFO has been saying, well, there's all this waste, and which I'm thinking, yeah, you haven't released a report, right? There's no report yet released on that, right? I'm not wrong about that. They haven't actually released the report to justify the claim of all the waste, right?
There was a separate DOGE report that we required be produced via legislation. So it was due and it was finally published. I think it's about 200 pages, but it doesn't look like it highlights any fraud, right? Okay. You know, local governments have grown. They've largely grown due to inflation or additional staffing. You know, you can nitpick and you can go in, and I am sure that every local government could trim some fat. How much fat is still up in the air because we don't have an in-depth study. We don't have a report. Oh, and by the way, the Florida legislature, we funded $1 million study in our last budget, and DeSantis vetoed it. He refused to even let us do a study that was in-depth and comprehensive. This is like the worst type of political theater to me, and getting more and more frustrated. I philosophically oppose the concept of property taxes. Same. I would like nothing more than to do away with property taxes. Give us a plan. Think it through. Stop faking it. Like, do something. Get off your rear end and do something about it, Governor. Like, you're just whining at press conferences.
Yeah, the same. I mean, my whole life I have hated property taxes. I do not believe there's a philosophical justification for you having to continually pay off the government to keep them from selling your home to somebody else. I hate the idea, but I'm in the same boat. I know our local government, if you forced them, they could find another couple of percent probably to cut costs. There's no chance they can find $70 million in the Escambia budget, the property tax slate. There's just no chance. There's no way they can find that level of money to just plain trim fat. That would be a cost in services, and that's the real question. Last thing, obviously, you know that Manny Diaz was confirmed as the president, is now the president of the University of West Florida, the 7th, and confirmed with a vote of only one dissent from the Senate faculty representative from FAU. But thoughts about Manny as the president of UWF in your district? I guess UW is actually Michelle's district, but still, it's your area, right?
Yeah. I know Manny Diaz. I think he has a great vision. I think he's a great leader. I think he's got the right perspective to help grow and develop the university. I think obviously there's been a lot of frustration and complaints about the process with how he got here. But I think a big job, a big role for a university president is their relationship in Tallahassee and the legislature with the Board of Governors. And I think he has all of those skills to bring significant resources and to develop a really great brand for UWF and take it to another level. One of the frustrating parts for UWF for a long time has been the lack of attention and care it's received in Tallahassee. And yeah. I think that bringing Manny in is a great way to try and address that, like, step of like one area where you could say there was room for improvement. I'm excited for Manny. I'm hopeful for his success, and I'm rooting for him.
You're a parliamentarian. You were a city attorney. You are obviously a very capable attorney and a legislator. And I just don't know the answer to this. It's my opinion that Rebecca Matthews, the chair of the Board of Trustees at UWF, lied to the Board of Governors yesterday, very specifically misled them, at the very least used very careful language in order to create a false impression with them. They don't swear in for this. Is there any actual teeth to having done something like that unless the Board of Governors decides to reprimand her or remove her? Like, there's no real consequence because it's an open, it's testimony and you don't have to swear in, right? It's not perjury.
Well, there's a technical answer and there's a real answer. The technical answer is in my committee, I only swear in people who are not employees of the state. I don't swear in people who are employees of the state because they work for the state and they're expected to act as if they're under oath. It would be impossible to charge. I don't know the context, Andrew. I was getting my girls up today, so I haven't been listening to the show. I think you mentioned something about she stated there's been no public backlash or public issues.
Specifically, she was asked why she ignored the questions raised about the process in the January meeting where they voted for him. And she very carefully said, well, there were no questions raised, which is, in my interpretation, incredibly false, because you specifically had the representative from the Senate faculty at length raise objection to the process, which has been a known problem throughout, that the process has been a problem. So I think if you parse the words like Bill Clinton did, she might not have technically lied, but she certainly misled by her answer, is my take.
Well, I mean, yeah, and it's you gotta account for perspective, and so you gotta show a ton of grace on that type of aspect, just like her perspective, what she experienced, what she recalls. So you know, maybe she was telling the truth from her perspective. So I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, if there's a technical answer, if you lie in a committee, like a legislative committee, and you're a state employee, well, you can face, you know, termination. You know, I think you might be able to face some type of perjury prosecution, but like, I've never seen it happen ever. And I don't think it ever would. But you know, at the same time, maybe we should have lie detectors on microphones. I don't know. Like,
it would. I've joked about this before that we, you know, yeah, I think you and I have even talked about this before, that there is a part of me that would love to have to swear people in, and you know, before they do open public forum and public comment, and by the way, the legislators, city council, and county commissioners as well, because you know, I mean, it would dramatically change if they obeyed it. It would dramatically change things. Alex Andrade, he's our state representative for District 2, as always. Alex, thank you for the time during session. I really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Andrew.
7:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And I also would say that based on the political realities of the situation with the governor, the board of governors, and so forth, I don't necessarily expect anything to happen. As I mentioned earlier, I think, you know, this is all over except for the complaining. Well, you know, talk radio every once in a while, that's what we do. I just want you to know. I want you to know the shenanigans are going on. What you do about it is, you know, ultimately up to you. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great selection of good quality used cars, cars that are year, two, three, maybe 4 years young. They specialize in cars that are, you know, sort of 10 to 40,000 miles, that range. You're going to be the second, maybe the third owner. Cars that coming off corporate leases, cars that just, you know, people trading their cars a lot, and so those cars might become available. People, you know, sell them cars. They buy cars all the time from individuals. So if you have a good quality car that you want to sell to them, they include a warranty up to 10 years or 100,000 miles on all the cars they sell to you, but they buy cars all the time from individuals. It's easier than, you know, 15 minutes. Simple, done. They'll even consignment sell it for you if you want a better price and are willing to wait a little while. The point is good cars, but also they treat you like, you know, a friend, like a person they're going to want to interact with again and again, not just trying to take the best advantage of you that one time the way you often feel at used car dealerships. I'm just telling you, my experience was so good, I literally came back and asked my sales manager, hey, can I do ads for them? We loved this process, and I will do my best to go to them again and again and again, if I can, forever, because they're fantastic. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash, Santa Rosa County, US 90, right near Craig Street in Milton. No roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip with the new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther. And combined with Subaru's legendary capability of standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected conditions and terrain with ease. Paved roads, gravel roads, just about any road, they're all fair game in the new 2026 Subaru Hybrid. Better fuel economy, legendary reliability, you'll find both in the Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid and Subaru Forester Hybrid. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
You ever look at your bank account and think, okay, that could be better? Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
What the hell club are you in, Jay Quinlan? future leaders of America.
Okay, okay. How would you know if you're going to be a leader in the future?
Yeah, Jake Quellen, answer the question. 7:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. Senator Lindsey Graham holding up a deal to keep the government open. Government funding will expire at midnight tonight. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill had apparently reached a deal last night that would have passed full-year spending bills, but Graham placed that a hold on that funding package. Another vote on that is set for today. U.S. gymnast Jordan Chiles getting another chance to get back her 2024 Olympic bronze medal. The Swiss Federal Tribunal is approving her appeal, sending the case back to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. Chiles' legal team says the ruling shows that Jordan is the rightful bronze medal winner in the 2024 Summer Games floor exercise. And thank you, Andrew, for pointing this one out to me. Don Lemon apparently taken into custody by federal agents in Los Angeles. The former CNN anchor was arrested Thursday, apparently as he was covering the Grammy Awards. Lemon was with the protesters, apparently, that rushed into the city's church in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yeah, so interesting. And, you know, of course, the pro-protesters, the anti-ICE people are being like, oh, sure, you're going to arrest Don Lemon for invading a church, but you're not arresting the people who shot him. I mean, you know, this is how this goes. Yeah. It's every issue, if you're not just on one side or the other, it's, I don't know, there's not a lot of space left in the world right now to just be reasonable, tell the truth, give fair analysis that might put you one way or the other on any particular issue. But I do think that is our obligation as citizens and let alone as news people. Local news.